Welcome to the Word Podcast. The Lord God has given us His Word. Let us learn it. Let us live it. Let us rejoice in it. Spread the Word.
Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. This is the 800th episode. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, 800 times we've been together. We do sort of gather together on a daily basis. I believe we've been pretty good at doing that. And so let me just encourage you from the get-go right here and just remind you to share about these times with one another, with your family members, with your friends, with your enemies, and your coworkers, whoever it may be. And just tell them what we simply try to do. It's just take a moment, always less than 10 minutes, to just see what the Word of God is saying. Quite often on the topical type of thing, right? We've been looking at several things. We've looked at certain topics, Feast of the Lord, for instance, the timing of certain things within Scripture. We've looked at entire books of the Bible, okay? We just completed the last episode looking at Elijah, which wound up being several more episodes than I thought it might be. So we're going to start with something today, which I really anticipate being a shorter thing, though it may not be. You never can tell, right? Depends on how far you start chasing things around. It's the wonder of the Word. When you sit there and look at a verse, like the one we're about to look at right now, it'll start with a particular word, okay? And that word itself demands a greater understanding of context. And you literally get to the point where you feel like I have to go back to Genesis every time to understand things. And a lot of times that's true. And that's the reason that we keep studying to show ourselves approved, that we keep immersing ourselves in the Word, that we keep coming before the Lord and saying, Lord, show us your truth. Show us what you're saying, okay? And so the verse we're going to look at today, probably a couple of verses, it's out of Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews, the fourth chapter. And at our time of our gathering right now, we are actually studying Hebrews in our local Bible studies and in the online. You can find those, by the way. You can go to my website, just dalemoore.tv. And up in the right-hand corner, you'll see a little plus sign. It's not very intuitive. I don't like that part, but I like the rest of it. And when you click it, you'll see Bible studies, and there's just tons of them on there. And I usually record the online version and put it up on the internet like that. And so, anyway, it's taken us, it'll take us about 30 weeks to get through Hebrews. So we're spending more than half a year studying Hebrews. And we may actually come back and do Hebrews in a podcast-type format when it's all said and done, maybe at the end of this year. But there was a verse that we encountered, and just doing a basic overview and then a little more detailed study. And it's a verse that's very, very common. But when you start thinking about it, and you start reflecting upon it, and you start wondering about it, and there's some really amazing things here. So let me just read the verse and sort of set the context and get our minds thinking this way, and we'll talk about the next couple episodes. It's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, For, F-O-R, okay, so it starts with the word for, and it says, For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Well, most of us already going, oh, yeah, I know what that verse is. You know, we have some familiarity with it. But just the fact that it starts with the word for right there tells us, okay, in light of what we're talking about, in light of what's being said right here, in light of this, here's something you need to know, or here's a conclusion, or here's some insight. And so let's just back it up a verse. In verse 11, it says this, Therefore, well, great. So verse 11 actually starts with a therefore. 12 has a for. 14 has a therefore. So you see that there's teaching, there's the conclusions being brought right here. So the big picture is this, that the author of the letter to the Hebrews is encouraging them to enter the rest of the Lord, R-E-S-T. Not like the balance of the Lord, but resting in the Lord and entering into that rest. And I'll tell you what, that whole rest of the Lord thing might be a whole little mini series for us. My, I thought about going into that before we got into this, but you wind up just chasing so many rabbits down so many holes, you forget which hole you went down, right? So what he's doing is he's telling them to enter into the rest that the Lord's providing. So listen to verse 11. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. So he's saying, you know, rest in the Lord. Enter into the rest of the Lord. Don't trust in yourself, okay? Don't trust in your ability, et cetera, et cetera. And there's all sorts of things that are going on in this writing to the Hebrews. I mean, it's great. It is such a word for the body of Christ today. Then he goes in verse 12. He says this, be diligent to enter the rest. Okay, make sure you do this. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. So why is he bringing this up? Well, he's been talking to him about the fact, and here's the, I can give you the bottom line with Hebrews and get a couple of thoughts. Here's the bottom line with the book of Hebrews. Jesus is better. Just remember that. Jesus is better. And he's better than the word that was spoken before. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than the Mosaic law and the sacrificial system. He's better than Abraham, okay? He's better than death. It's that Jesus is better. And then the corollary to that is believe. Two letter B's. Jesus is better, so therefore believe. Believe what he said. They were being tempted to turn away from what they had been taught about Jesus. Now, the Hebrews, the people that are receiving this recipients, were people that were Jewish in background, and now they're saved, okay? But they're being tempted. They're being tempted to go back to a sacrificial system. They're being tempted to go back and give an inordinate amount of attention to angels and things like that. And he's saying, no. He says, do this. Remember that the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Okay? You need to remember that. They've been straying from the word of God. Now let me finish the verse. And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Let me just read verse 13. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. In other words, with him who we're going to appear before, to him that we're going to be judged before. And so what you see here is that the word of God is living and active and sharper. You see that type of thing all through Scripture of things being expressed in a triune nature. I wonder why that is, you know. But here is what I want us to see today and what we're going to be talking about. And our time's running quickly past us. So just be thinking about this. It says the word of God is living, active, and sharper than any two-edged sword to such a degree that it will pierce as far as the division of soul and spirit and body. It says here both joints and marrow, speaking of the body. There's another passage we'll look at that speaks of the soul, spirit, and body. It literally describes how we are, okay? How we are as humans, that we are soul, we're spirit, and we're body. The body part, we understand, okay? Everybody has a body in some form or fashion. The soul and spirit gets a little vague because sometimes in Scripture they're used synonymously. So let me just tell you what the bottom line truth is, and then we'll talk about it more later, okay? We are humans. Are made in the image of God. God the Father, God is spirit. So that which is spirit about us is that which is made in the image of God. The soul is the seat of the emotions. Okay, that's where your emotions are. That's where your mind, your intellect, and that type of thing is. Other animals have souls. Okay, to some degree, they'll have emotions. Your little puppy dog has emotions, right? Your little puppy dog. What about your cat? Well, we're not sure about cats, right? No. Just kidding, sort of. But they have emotions. Our cows had emotions. I remember that. They could be happy. They could be sad. They would have emotions. But the human is the only one that is made in the image of God and that has spirit. Okay, we're made in the image of God to this purpose, to be imagers of God. To be an imager of God. And what he's saying right here in this entering into the rest is, hey, you know what? The word of God will cut through this stuff. And he said it's so sharp, so piercing, even as far as dividing the soul and spirit and the body, you know, to that division. For today, just remember this. We are tripartite beings. We are soul, we are spirit, and we are body. We'll pick it up the next time and see where it leads us, okay? Again, I'm Dale. I'll see you then.